Can you feel the love tonight? It's everywhere we be. Hello, everyone. It's the final noise cancelling podcast you're ever going to listen to, unless, you know, in 10 to 15 years gone by, we've all died and someone finds us in a relic in a tomb somewhere and they're like, what is this? Maybe we can open up again. And we turn up like Jumanji. That could happen too.
Wow.
Yeah. This is my last week at Future. I've been here for a very long time and I thought, you know what? I can't go out with saying goodbye to the podcast as well, because it was on hiatus, which is often that horrendous thing where it's not going to come back probably, but maybe it will one day. And so this is our chance to say properly goodbye to one of the bestest podcasts you'll ever listen to. And we get a lot of tweets, Trishuri, don't we, about people saying, when's it coming back? What's happening?
We do. Like, maybe, like, although you're leaving, maybe I can figure out something to rise out of the ashes like a phoenix.
No. Also, shush, because I haven't said hello to you. Everyone, this, as we know, is the Noise Cancelling Podcast, where if you have been listening maybe a year ago the last time we did this, this is where we just talk about things that have happened in the tech industry. This time, we're going to go quite far back into the annals of time. But before we do that, let's meet the team.
I'm Sherelle Smith, Editor-in-Chief of Laptop Mag, and I am happy to be here, although it is bittersweet.
Bittersweet indeed. I am Matt Phillips, senior video producer for Tech Radar and many other brands at Future. And yeah, bittersweet. Gareth is leaving us. We're all heartbroken and we thought, well, we better get back on the pod one last time.
And I am Gareth Beavis, global editor-in-chief of Tech Radar for 48 more hours. Well, 49 actually, if you're being really correct. Or however long my access lasts here, because, you know, I've got a week off in between. So if they don't shut down my email, I'm probably just going to do some work for a couple more days just to tidy up. But yeah, this is, like, as we've said, my final week at Future PLC, the governing body of all things Laptop Mag, Tech Radar, Tom's Guide, all the places that you've heard over the years of people that have involved onto this podcast. And I just wanted to say goodbye to you lovely listeners and to Matt and, of course, to Cherie, the inimitable Cherie L. Smith. That's Cherie L. Smith, Ms. Smith 11. Right, let's start off with the standard big question, and I'm going to ignore it straight away because we have got it in the running order. What was the first piece of tech you reviewed? Which is obviously a good place to start, but A, I can't really remember it, and B, if it is the one I think it is, it was shit. So... Cherie, you answer first, and I can give a better answer for what I was going to say.
Okay. Basically, it was the Chumby.
I love the Chumby.
For those of you who are unfamiliar, be glad you're unfamiliar. This was the piece of tech that I had to review to actually get hired on at Laptop Mag after trying to apply at least 3 times with no callback. They give me this Android radio, and to make it anthropomorphic, they put it in this squishy, genuine leather pouch or bag or whatever, and like it had little ears on it, so it'd be like a little, I guess, a bigger version of a Tamagotchi, but with Android radio. It fit into no categories. And God, speaking of Android, was it running? I think it was running Android 2.3, so that, like, we are talking really, really early Android. It was unwieldy. It got radio channels. Like, you could, like, oh, you could develop apps for it, like a weather app or a clock app or another weather app. It was the most shite thing I'd ever touched in my life. And like, coming off of reviewing, like doing like mini reviews of products, to having to do this thing that has nothing to compare it to, because you are like, okay, I got this, I'll just look at the website and get reference. There is the laptop up to that time had reviewed nothing like this thing. So I was literally on my own, and I know what happened because I've done it subsequently to people. forgive me, applicants. I've done it subsequently to job applicants. Like, I need this thing reviewed. No one on staff will take it or can take it. Ha ha! So, forgive me, applicants. If you've ever gotten an unwieldy thing from me, that it's not my intention to be malicious, but I have gone through that fire, and if I can do it, you can do it.
That's pretty good. I mean, I've just looked it up, and the Chumby still, you still can access it. You can. There's a whole community out there, people who are still doing it.
No, there's not. Like, that's a lie. I don't believe you for a second.
No, like, there's chumby.com. You can go to the home store. You can activate a Chumby. You can deactivate a Chumby. You can subscribe. You can get apps.
No, I refuse to believe that this thing is still...
I don't know how long
ago. Oh my God.
But there you go. I mean, at the bottom, it says the one of the highest rated feeds for it was Icon Has Cheeseburger. So I don't know how how old is that? So.
Oh God, no.
Sheree, do you know what you scored it? That's the big question. Can you remember?
I remember score like it was, I guess I gave it a gentleman C, so a 3 out of 5, because it's like it worked well. Like, I didn't know who would use it. I have an affinity for it because it's the thing that got me my job, so it will always have a special place in my heart. But at the same time, I also have to recognize that no one in their right mind was buying this thing, and I am surprised. Is this site using Flash? I feel like it's using Flash.
I mean, we look at it on iPhone and see if it works. That's always a clue.
Like, well, the iPhone that I'm reviewing, because I'm currently reviewing the iPhone Pro Pro Max, is upstairs, so I cannot do that.
I'm going to do it. I've got the iPhone 14 Pro Max in front of me right now. Honestly, like, can you imagine? What year was that, Sheree, when you did that? Can you remember?
Oh, God. This will be like my 14th year, so 2006, 2007.
Wow, yeah. So can you imagine talking about the iPhone 14 Pro Max to somebody who is reviewing the Chumby? Like, crazy it would be.
Madness.
I mean, it's still working on the old iPhone, so it can't be that much flash.
Oh wow. Okay.
So HTML video for you. There you go.
I remember I felt so proud when I was in my interview that I finally got it. Like, yeah, I just reviewed the BlackBerry tablet, like the playbook, the BlackBerry playbook. It was like, oh my God. Oh Lord. How far we've come.
So I have tried, I was going to say, this is boring. I want something better, but I have gone through and I have remembered my very first review, and it was on the 31st of May, 2008. And it was the Samsung F110 MyCoach Adidas review, which was a phone that you had a thing that you connected to your watch. So a thing that connected to your shoe. You had a thing that connected to your heart rate. So basically a heart rate monitor all the way around. And it just plugged into, it connected to a phone, which was mind-blowing back then. And it would give you pace and it would give you your heart rate and all these kind of things. And this was before smartphones really even became a thing. This is iPhones only less than a year out, and you didn't have apps, so there's no way you could have connected to it, etc. And oh my God, I loved it. I still have it. I saw it the other day. It's this little tiny slider with buttons, and it doesn't still work, but you have to have the proprietary Samsung charger. And I've looked it up, and pros, sophisticated voice guided personal coaching system, excellent MyCoach website, good quality music player, a whole gigabyte of internal storage, lightweight, easy grip body. That's true. No expandable memory, no 3G, low res display, headphone socket positioning is average, and only a 2 megapixel camera. I mean, headphone socket, there you go. But I mean, and then average. Considering I've literally, the embargo lifted 2 hours ago on the Apple Watch Ultra, and this thing is about 1,000 times better than that watch for so many reasons. But I still, that phone, sorry, but I still love that phone dearly, purely, wonderfully. And I can't believe that it didn't take off. Surprising, really.
Shocking. Absolutely shocking.
But I was thinking about the first stuff I reviewed, and I was like, well, I said there was another phone that I thought it was, but I remembered it was that one because I didn't have my name on it because I wasn't allowed. It was Tech Radar staff. But there were two phones that I did review that I think we should look back at because what the hell? And they were two transparent phones. So not quite transparent. In July 2009 was the LG GD900 Crystal, where it slid out.
Oh, wow.
Slid out of like basically a piece of glass where you could tap away.
On glass. I remember.
Which was, again, awful because you had no way to tell where your fingers were landing because, you know, texting, you press buttons, you know, BlackBerrys back then, you could text and you could press. This was just like banging your fingers on glass, which I know that's all we do now, but at least there's haptics and there's things that happen underneath. That was an all right phone. That was pretty good. And the other one, and this one, I don't understand what happened because I remember having it, was the Sony Xperia Pureness. Do you ever remember that, Sheree? I don't know if you would.
I don't like we did like Sony Xperia phones were in the US during that time, but I wasn't on the smartphone beat yet. Like, when you come into laptop, you are exclusively on the laptop beat for a while, particularly the laptops that no one wants until you speak up and like, well, I want this. And then I saw Mike Prospero, who was then the reviews editor, is now editor-chief over at Tom's Guy, with this shiny glowing thing. And I was like, what is that? He's like, it's a gaming laptop. I'm like, it shall be mine. And that began my obsession with RGB and expensive specs and kitchen sink type of accoutrement.
And what happened? Did you enjoy laptops after that? Have you done anything with them?
Over the 14 years, I've definitely, like, of course, I love laptops. But I've gotten appreciation for every laptop that you can do, from your budget, from your $200. Like, why would anybody need this? Somebody needs it, otherwise it wouldn't be created. And of course, I just love ostentatious shit. So, like, give me your $9,000 laptops, Acer. Give me your curved monitors, your mechanical keyboards. Remember when there were two GPUs in a laptop and it was running SLI and all that good stuff. Oh my God, all the ridiculous stuff. Remember when when Asus put out that water-cooled laptop?
I mean, I remember when I was younger just reading about the first laptop or computer, to run a gigahertz processor, and it was water-cooled to the absolute hilt. This is how long ago that was. This was 25 maybe years ago. I was like, that sounds amazing. I wonder what it can do. It's like, it can run a game. Wow, on a computer. It's incredible. But anyway, the Sony Xperia Pureness, first of all, shit name. The reason was it was like a little tiny black box that had just, again, a piece of glass on top. But that glass there was the screen. It was transparent. You could see through it and you could have messages. And you can type messages through on this screen that didn't exist. And you could see through, and you could put it to your eye and you could see through. And I remember using it. And what I'm confused about is I had it for must have been 2 or 3 weeks. I didn't review it, apparently. I swear I did, but it's not on the site anywhere. The news pieces. But I remember giving me such a headache because, like, trying to focus on something when your brain's telling you to just focus straight through it. It was a terrible idea. And ever since then, that must be the reason why we haven't had like those Minority Report style phones in your hand where you like, and you can tap on a screen and see through it. No one wants that. Iron Man, he pretended it was a big thing. Why do you want to see through? Backs are good.
Yeah, but like LG does have that transparent TV concept that it looks pretty
dope. Signage. That's for, so you can just put it in windows and stuff in bakeries and make your buns look better.
I was going to say, it's a total gimmick. Like you said, like, no, it's difficult
good for,
to focus
it's good
on
advertising. It's great.
Slightly transparent. Yeah. Sure, I guess. But even that, it's not going to catch your eye as much as like a normal screen would in a shop window. And so I still don't understand the benefit. Because why you would ever go for a transparent display.
It can point to a bun. It could be like, buy that bun over there.
Oh,
it's only 12.
They're going to tweak that thing down, and we're going to be like, we're going to do a reunion, like a time capsule 10 years from now. Like, remember when you, I'm going to be like, remember when you all poo-pooed that? Now look at us.
The iPhone 28 will be transparent display.
But why would you need a transparent display?
Well, this is my point. You wouldn't. It's a terrible idea. Stop trying to do it.
I tell you what, the only reason you would need this, and this is in 10 years' time, may have happened, is if electronics, which they are going to get more and more flexible, they can be, you know, screens can be made high res in almost like fabric, and you're talking wearable clothes where you can change the outfit. I mean, people talk about that stuff all the time. It's never going to happen because it would look fucking ridiculous. You would be like, oh, look at my dress that I've drawn. You know, everyone's going to like, you look stupid, don't do that. But there'll be something along those lines, whether it is, you know, like a screen that could go up on a wrist and you can see loads of different things on it and it can display multiple objects. But then equally then, it's curved. You don't watch a film like on your arm because it's like, oh, I can't see what his head's doing because it's gone down my elbow. You know, there's, you know, that's the one thing in 15 years of doing this, that the fantastical future gazing stuff, you realize, hang on a minute, if this was here today, and let's imagine it's about 20% shitter than the ideas are because that's how it always works out. It will never be good. Like, again, talking about the Apple Watch Ultra, I was reminded of the time when LG did the, I'll say like GD10 or something along those lines, which was the watch that had a video camera in it. And they would, like, you know, you could talk to each other through the watch like Dick Tracy. And yes. I remember them showing it, and the guy presenting it, I think it was at IFA, was like, oh, hello, Steve, as if like he was talking to Steve Jobs. Like, haha, you're so funny. And I remember getting it and testing it and like trying to talk to somebody walking around a shop at the same time. I was like, you just feel so stupid. Exactly. And this is, you know, and I think people need to realize this, the kind of the sacrifice we do as tech reviewers. When I first had the AirPods, I had them under embargo ahead of most people, and I wore them outside for the first time because they were allowed, and I took them to a music event, I think it was the Brit Awards. The amount of people that were like, what are you wearing? What are you doing? You look ridiculous. Someone's like, you've got toothbrushes in your ears. Someone's like, someone's just done a naughty in your ear. It's dribbling down. It was like, yeah. It was awful. Absolutely awful. But
and then, that's how I describe them. There's something about Mary.
Yes, exactly. And now everyone's wearing them like it's totally normal. But I had to go through, you know, at least 3 hours of people going like, what? But then equally, I tell you what, everybody wanted to go on them, even though they were just like white sticks.
Of course. I'm sure they're like iconic enough. They look Apple enough that people probably knew what was going on, right? Like even the latest Apple AirPods advert now is they're so trying to harken back to that old school Apple silhouette advert that's so iconic.
Indeed.
That's exactly what they're doing.
Matt, what about you?
Well, I'm new. This was more of a question for you guys. Like, I've only been in the industry for like 3 years. I've not got anything cool to reminisce about like this. I think I remember the first thing that I shot for Tech Radar was it the original AirPods Pro? Would that have been 3 years ago?
Yeah, about right. Yeah,
does that sound about right? So yes. We can fill circle with the AirPods Pro 2 coming out recently. And so yeah, that was like the first thing I came down and shot with you guys in London. And yeah, I'm just a baby. None of my stuff's interesting. This was a question for you guys.
Well, what was the first thing you remember, like ever? You know, like in the tech world, like the first thing that got you interested, like. Mine was a mini disc player, which you don't even understand what mini discs are.
So. I remember mini disc players. I remember how they were extremely expensive, right? Like my dad had one and just ridiculously expensive. And super, super short-lived in this idea that like, oh, I'm going to migrate my entire music library over to this new format that lasts.
They were brilliant, right? MP3s ruined it. They absolutely ruined a brilliant thing. They were like tapes plus records plus computers plus everything.
Super complicated. Yeah, exactly. MP3 is definitely the inferior format. But I remember my dad having the Nokia, the slide, the bottom half it slid down. It was the one from the Matrix film.
That never really existed. Fun fact for all of you, the banana phone that was, they had to build a spring mechanism into it so it sprung down. But the one they actually had, I think it was the 7110, something like that, was the banana phone. You had to pull it down. And the spring-loaded one was the 9160 or something, 9110 maybe. And that was a completely different phone.
Well, so there we go.
Mushed it together to make it happen.
The Mandela effect flicking off in my head there. I remember having that in the house. And I remember that becoming like my first phone because it was probably stuck in a drawer somewhere. And by the time I was old enough that my parents thought, yeah, he's allowed a phone. Well, let's give him the worst phone that exists.
Did it have the scrolling wheel in the middle?
Scrolling wheel in the middle. Snake.
And tennis.
Tennis.
That was a 7110. That was not a shit phone. That was a brilliant phone. So you'll... Watch your mouth, that young
man. I think I had it though, like probably 4 or 5 years after it came out.
You would, if you get given it now, you would enjoy it.
Oh no, there's no doubt. I'd take it tomorrow. There's no doubt. It's probably still in my parents' attic somewhere. I could probably get it then.
Yeah, my dad had it on his work contract, and I was like, "I'll play tennis." This was big screen time. This was like 4 times bigger than anything else, and monochrome, but high res. Right. I think we've covered the internet from the olden days before. So let's talk about what's going on right now. Cherie, you already mentioned it. The iPhone 14 lineup has arrived, but let's do it. Let's go back in the past again. How close were you to the first iPhone launch?
I was not close at all, and I had already staunchly made my flag in the Android camp. I had gone from Palm, and I was staunchly against BlackBerry. I was holding on to my Palm. And I had the last Palm, the slider, the little black one, the Palm Pre. I love that thing much.
I tweeted about it today. I love that phone so much. you could cut cheese with it. It was the best UI. It's interesting. If you look at the user interface on the Palm Pre, which everyone does all the time because we're all so cool, it's very similar to what Apple is doing now with iOS, like cards to get you to jump between apps, which you can do the same thing. The fluidity of it, it's so similar.
I loved that phone, and I had it when I was just like I was settling into moving to the Bronx. I was living by Yankee Stadium, and I went to a bodega, I guess, and left my put my phone on the counter because I guess I was ordering a sandwich or something, and I looked and my Palm Pre was no longer there. And this was when Sprint was still a viable cellular service. And they were like, yeah, Palm Pre, we don't make that anymore. You're going to have to pick something else. So I had to jump to Android. And my first Android phone was the HTC Evo 4G.
You had weird names for the HTCs over there. We were, they were much easier. It's like the Magic and the Dream over in America, England.
So I had the Evo for, like, and I was Android ever since. So, like, I've only started reviewing iPhones in the last 2-3 years. Like, before, I'd be like, keep that away from me. And, like, so now...
Why, though? Like, that's the question. Why people have this... A lot of people have this attitude. I've had to tell writers to be like, come on, have a think. You know, it's very easy to... So they've joined and they're like, oh, Apple is this. And then really, they have to kind of, like, get an understanding of the wider context. So why do you think you were like, nah?
Well, number one, Apple is very picky about who they let review their products. So, I, like, at that time, Mark Spoonhour, who was the editor-in-chief of both Laptop and TomSky, was the Apple man. So he got all the MacBooks and he got all the iPhones and things like that. So it's like, I look at it like, okay, that's nice, and keep it moving. But, like, I still haven't subscribe to an iPhone because, like, I don't know, I've still sold on the freedom and the openness and the this and the that of it all with Android. Maybe I'm still naive, maybe I'm just stubborn, maybe I am slowly but surely turning into an old woman who screams at clouds, but, like, I am addicted to my S Pen, and Samsung has me on a lock with that, with the Note series, or the Fold.
Can I just, on that point, though, very briefly, segueing across, Deputy Editor of Tech Radar, now left, Mark Chatsfield, he was there when the first Galaxy Note was launched in IFA in 2010, I think. And he was on camera doing our very early burgeoning video series on Tech Radar for, like, Tech Radar Presents. And he said, this is the Galaxy Note. It's one of the biggest phones on the market, 4.9-inch screen or whatever it was, or 5.1, crazy at the time. And he said, and this is obviously good, and you can interact with it using the Pen S. And for the rest of time, that has been his tagline.
Oh, yes.
The what there, Mark? The S Pen? No, the Pen S. Samson's got a big penis.
Oh, Lord. I remember when the first Note came out, and that cemented my love of phablets. I love a big phone, and that also was the beginning of the end of tablets for me. I slowly but surely stopped believing in tablets. The last tablet I actually believed existed was the NVIDIA Shield, and after that, no other tablet exists. It is a mythical device, right up there with Chromebooks.
Okay, as we know, Sheree does not believe in Chromebooks. They are the devil's work.
But also, Samsung has stopped believing in the Note series, so you better jump ship at some point to something, Sheree.
No, I mean, the S Pen has made its way over to the S line period, and then you have the Fold.
So not the Note. Not the Note, though. Still not the Note, if you notice there.
Still not the Note, but all the things that the Note brings, in about the same package. So I can live with that.
Not the Note. Still not the Note.
I can live with that.
Okay. But you agree, though, that the Note is dead.
Until Samsung says that officially,
I have said it officially. They say we're not going to make any more notes. We're going to transition to the Fold.
Yeah, they say that. We'll see.
Okay. And if you do want to get onto Twitter, it is mchax. That's mchax. If you just want to tweet the words NS to mchax, I want to see how many he gets. And let's find out how people listen to this podcast. That would be our metric.
We haven't made one in 18 months. Nobody's listening.
Oh,
exactly,
Jesus.
Yeah. Chris Barraclough was going to be on this, but unfortunately he was having a EV charger installed into his house, and he said there'd be too much banging. Well, hey. So unfortunately he'll be on it, but he would have been the fourth member.
I see that this is the body episode.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Hello. So actually, Sheree, given the fact that you were not Ms. Apple during the time, given the fact you stepped away from it, what was, in your mind, the biggest iPhone launch over the years? Which one broke through your Android exterior to make you remember that was a big one?
I guess the 4.
Is that just because it was found in a bar?
No, because besides that, if I'm remembering that correctly, that was the you're holding it wrong scandal phone. And there was a lot to go wrong with that phone. That phone is the phone that low key ruined Gizmodo for a few years. They took a big hit for a couple of years, that unfairly so. It kind of ruined Gizmodo, put all the rest of us on notice. Do not fuck with Apple in that way. If they say do not break the embargo, if you find something of theirs, return it, or there will be dire consequences. And then just the utter gall to be like, you are holding your phone wrong. The natural position that you hold, that you typically use to hold your phone, that is the wrong position. Your phone must levitate because your greasy, grubby hands are interfering with the antenna, and that's why you're not getting any service. Make it levitate it like the magical phone it is, you peons. So that phone stuck out for me the most with the iPhone.
Don't forget as well, I remember afterwards Apple put out a statement saying, we went back and we checked and we were amazed to find out that actually we'd be misrepresenting the signal. Who knew? So actually we've gone back and so basically what it looked like they did, they went back in, they boosted the little bars so that it looked like it wasn't dropping out as much because the signal was there. And this is the other thing, that this did happen on other phones, but it's the point, if Apple's going to go so big on being perfect and having these amazing things back then, you're going to get flamed in the same way. I mean, does it still have the same effect now, Cherie? Now you are, on the Apple review train. Is it still the same brand, do you think? Is Apple different?
It depends. Like at this point, there's only so much in terms of design. There's only so much you can do with a phone. Same thing with, there's only so much you can do with a laptop or a tablet or whatever you ascribe to. It's going to be square more than likely, or rectangular. It's going to be made of either plastic.
That would be amazing.
Plastic, glass, or metal. It's going to have a screen. Like, there's going to be cameras. The cameras better be amazing.
You can do this to pretty much every bit of tech eventually, and the camera, it's got a camera, it's got a lens, and it's got a big body, and you got a button you press, and you could break anything down like that, surely.
Yeah, but
do you like the Dynamic Island? Apart from I was there in the room when they said Dynamic Island, everyone laughed because
everyone always laughs at Apple's naming conventions, and then all of a sudden we're just like, we buy into the Kool-Aid. Remember the iPad? Remember all the menstrual product jokes? The iPad. Oh my God, the iPad's coming! Laugh as you will at Apple. You will be eating those words later. Like, they've proven time and time again. Much to my chagrin, even though I will never let them off the hook for the pencil. They Columbus the pencil, and I will never, ever let them forget it. Like, yes, we've got a new adventure for you. The pencil. A word? You've invented the pencil?
Again, another laugh in the room when that happened, I remember. Everyone was like, the what now?
Exactly. Like, okay, you made the pencil. Cool.
I feel like they've started toning that back, though. When they announced the always-on display this time around, they didn't try to make out that it was some super revolutionary thing. Like, they kind of knew, this has been around for a long time. They didn't try and Columbus that quite as much as the old pencil.
I must say, though, the name Dynamic Island aside, although it is an island and it is dynamic, so, but I do think Apple was just saying, can we get away with this? I reckon we can.
If they can get away with iPad, they can get away with literally anything. Dynamic Island is so tame.
If you haven't tried it, I would say it is good. It's clever because it tricks your brain. It makes your brain think there's not a hole there. It's just a place where notifications come from. I think, of all the things that you can say, this isn't new, this is innovative, this actually is. Like you said, the always-on display, I think it's too always-on. There's too much happening on it.
I agree.
It's a bit battery heavy. It definitely pulls more. All I need is the time. I don't need, the wallpaper in dark mode. I don't need to find out, you know, what notifications I've got beyond just like, hey, you've got a notification. That's all I need. It's just basically the time. Because when Samsung first did it, they made a really good point. They're like, yeah, it'll take about an extra percent battery an hour, which over 24-hour periods, 24%, it's a quarter of the battery. It's not that small. But they said, look, every time someone picks up their phone to look at the time and they've turned the screen on, it takes more than a percent. So therefore, this is a good idea. And over the course of it, it makes sense. Apple's just gone like bananas and done loads and loads and loads of things on there. I just want to know what time it is. Because constantly right now, I keep looking at my phone thinking I've left it on. And maybe that'll go over time. But right, it's slightly confusing as it stands.
Yeah, I borrowed it off you earlier today to do some shooting with it. And it, like, took me a minute to realize, like, oh yeah, I can't turn this thing off. Like, I can't wake it up like a traditional phone. And it just feels so busy in comparison to Android phones that you're used to having this feature. It will take some getting used to. I'm sure you get used to it very quickly. And we'll see how it does to the battery. But it was definitely jarring when I got my hands on it.
Battery doesn't seem perfect for me. I don't know about you, Cherie.
The battery, like in the testing that we've gotten, the battery life is not matching last generation. So the 13 Pro Max, the Pro, the 14, the 13, like just along, like it's just, and yeah, the battery life has not been as good. It's still good. Like we've gotten over consistently over 10 hours for both the Pro and the Pro Max. I just can't remember the exact time, but I know it's closer to 11 hours than 10 hours, but still not as good as previous gen. I can't help but wonder if it's the dynamic island and the always on. Plus that more powerful chip, because honestly, like, even though we would have like lambasted them for not giving us a new chip, Apple really didn't need to give us a new chip. They could have rocked with A15 Bionic and we would have been fine. It still would have been kicking everyone's ass in the game.
Well, I don't know. Qualcomm looks like it's going to do something pretty big coming up.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. You know, like there's always room for competition, but right now Apple remains the most powerful smartphone in the land, much to my chagrin. but I, like, I'm always rooting for... you're always rooting for the king to be dethroned. So we'll see.
As we know, your Intel love is ended, you know?
I mean, like, I still have love for Intel. I still, like competition is always good. Like, it's great to see that AMD has just become this juggernaut after all that time of just kind of being in the shadows. Like, hey, we're here if you need a value product that runs well. Now it's like, yeah, we're here. We're taking, we're kicking ass, taking names, we're chewing bubble. There's no bubble gum to chew. Just nah. And it was so fun. Like, it's funny because I used to joke with people like, hey, if Intel doesn't watch out, they're going to have AMD and other people breathing down their necks. And now we're here. Look at us. Now we're here. Now AMD is doing this. ARM has jumped in the bed with Apple, coming out with the M2, the M1 and the M2 chips, and really giving Intel a run for its money. Like, Intel has barbarians at the gate, and it is wild to see.
So, final question, let's get off the iPhone train. Would you ever buy a foldable iPhone, Cherie, if it had an S Pen or a Pen S?
I'll have an Apple Pencil.
At MChax on Twitter, MChax.
I think about it because I appreciate the way that the Pro Max looks. I especially appreciate that it's purple now. It's a premium looking device. I still feel like a noob as I'm navigating it because I don't touch, like, outside of review time, that's the only time I'm touching the iPhone. Until after that, it goes into its little desk until it's time for me to review the next one at this point. I'm staunchly iPhone, even though Android, even though my family has abandoned me for iPhone and it hurts. Now I am the green bubble and I feel that they are laughing at me.
That is so big in America. Like, over in England, we don't give a shit about bubble colors. You know, we're all on WhatsApp, basically.
We're all on WhatsApp. Exactly what I was going to say. We're all just on WhatsApp.
Yeah, people like I might be able to get my brother on a WhatsApp, but to get my mother on there and explain it, I feel like I'm just going to take the green bubble chicanery. And like, I mean, I don't care that I'm a green bubble, but you know, it's a way to look down. iPhone owners can look down their noses at us Android folk. Is like, all right, whatever, man. Your beloved phone is biting off of most of the things that my phone has been doing for years. But okay, you're the superior. All right, fine, whatever.
Okay, let's switch up. What is the most annoyed you've ever been at a tech event, Cherie? The most angry.
Oh.
For some reason, my answer to this question was going to be that time LG made a leather phone. I wasn't that angry about it, but it sprung to mind for some reason.
I wish LG would make phones again. At least they're doing cool stuff.
I would like LG to come back into the phone game. Like they made it interesting, especially now. If you looked in the news today, we're seeing hands-on of a near complete version of their rollable phone, that the last phone that they were supposed to, and it looks really freaking cool. And I would have loved, like, I would have loved just making stupid, like, I'm just in, out, in. I would have been delighted to play with that thing.
That is the reason we do this job, so we can go on the train and maybe people be like, "What's that?" Like, "Oh, this. Oh, let me show you." Like, that is half the reason, just for the ego boost of people going, and, "Like, I can't believe you did it first. Oh, wow."
Exactly. So I really would like LG to try to regroup and to get back into the phone game. They push innovation. Does everything stick? No, but they push the conversation, and the phone world is sadder without them. It's a little smaller, a lot dimmer without them. So I hope they could find a way to mosey their way back on in. The most mad I've been, you know what? Samsung event. It was for I want to say it was for the Note 4 or the Note 5, and we were at Radio City, and they
the S4 was at Radio City.
Okay, thank you.
Was such a terrible launch. That was so bad.
It was so bad. Like, they turned it into this Broadway show, and it was full of sexism down to...
I think you'll find that women, when they're trying to air dry their nails, want to be able to look through their photos, and they can just be like, "Oh my God, just swipe through without having to touch the phone screen," which doesn't make any sense because you can touch stuff from the other side without touching your nails.
Meanwhile, like, you've got drunk cougar lady chasing after the pool cabana boy. It was just stereotypes. And it just really brought home that Samsung has too many arms and they don't know what the other is doing. Because it, like, as soon as it started getting, like, roasted, it was like, well, it was Samsung Korea's fault, South Korea's fault. No, it was the U.S. branch. No, it was this branch. That thing, I was like, wow.
Also, this is behind the scenes on that day, because obviously we went there as like different groups, you know, we went on different press trips, and we were at Samsung UK, obviously. And Samsung France apparently came in and took our slot for the preview of the phone where we usually get it. And we're like, "What? We haven't got, so we're not gonna get to see the phone before." And like, "No, I'm really sorry." And then the last minute, like, "We're in, go, go, go." We like ran into this, like, must have been like a bathroom, like with marble everywhere, and just took quick photos of the phone with half an hour to go. The most speedy preview of a device that I've ever had to do. Luckily, the S4 was basically the S3 with a different shell. So that made it a lot easier. But oh my God, I was just remembering this like West Side Story, different gangs rocking around Radio City, just trying to like fight for these secret phones. Imagine that now, like, when, you know, Apple does, you know, eight different things.
You're
at
a
once.
Jet. Yeah. You're a jet all your life.
Samsung jet, you know, big phone.
Yeah, so that's about the maddest I've ever been.
Not relevant to being mad, but the Samsung jet. I remember when I was reviewing that, I got involved inexplicably in a 24-hour dance-off competition where it was called The Last Call. And what you did was you had to go in. It was in the O2 in the UK. And there was 100 squares, 100 colored squares on the floor, and you dance for 24 hours. Kicker was, if your phone got a text or a phone call, you were out. So Mr. Popular over here was not a problem at all. And it was brilliant. Like, the first hour, there was three people that went out because they got text going back to, everyone had obviously texted their friends saying, "Please don't text me for the next 24 hours. It's really important. I'm going to the competition." Three people got an okay back saying, "Oh, like, oh man, I'm out." I came second. So I danced for 24 hours straight. And Everybody who, if you came 100th, if you came second, got a new Samsung Beat DJ phone. Given the fact my job was reviewing phones at this point, not the greatest prize. the winner got €10,000. And
wow. Yeah. Oh, my God. And you missed out on it by one place.
Well, one place. The way they did it was they put both our phone numbers up on the internet, and the first person to get a phone call lost. And it was like milliseconds, apparently. Damn. Fun fact, the inside of my right toe, the one next to the big toe, still can't feel it because it went numb after that dance off, and still there, just the inside, you know. But that
did you not go to the doctor?
Hey, I thought it would come back.
Did you? So you basically did the stereotypical man thing. I was like, it's fine.
Well, I mean, it's still fine, isn't it?
No, it's probably nerve damage.
It's a bit of it. It's a bit of nerve damage. It's not all of the toe. Most of it is fine.
When you have free healthcare, Sheree, you take it for granted, okay? You just don't even bother going to see about your numb toe.
No, that still don't make sense, because I was about to rock with you, but I'm like, if I have free healthcare, I'd be like, hey, I've got a twinge in my elbow. Check it out, doc.
You'll get around to it. There's waiting lists, you know, it'll be like...
Yeah, what you do, Sheree, is you queue it all up so that when you do go to the doctor, you go with like 50 things, and then they just go, you're screwed. You got a week left.
Yeah, I've got to the point now, I've got so much, I have got like book in like three different sessions and I try and group them together in like regional body parts. Right, come on, we've got to start wrapping this up now. This has been fun. I miss doing this. Why do we stop? We should carry on. We can't. I'm leaving. Bad times. Come on, Sheree, let's do one more unpopular opinion.
Oh,
can you remember the song is the big question.
Unpopular opinion, let your hate unfurl. Laptops, video games, or whatever, tell me what you hate. Unpopular opinions.
Does anyone have an unpopular opinion?
I can go. I'm not sure if I even believe in this, but I was trying to fill the silence. I think this is the weakest iPhone launch that we've had in a long time.
Back to the iPhone. Great. Let's go.
Let's reel it back in. We can skip over it if you guys have thought of a better one. But
No, I mean, the Apple Watch Ultra, I've just reviewed that. That's pretty cool. I like that. But the Apple Watch 8, my God, nothing happened. Like, there's a temperature sensor in there, which is great for people who are, you know, family planning and want to review their fertility. That's it. That is it. Nothing has changed other than, you know, crash detection, which is in all the Apple Watches and stuff. This is the most minute upgrade to that ever. The iPhone 14 and 14 Plus, obviously the 14 Plus is big and it's new, that's exciting, but the 14 itself, yeah, I mean, iteration. I mean, I don't think it's an unpopular opinion, Matt. I think it's pretty standard.
Yeah, fair enough.
But I mean, I guess it's unpopular in every device launch can't be a big old leap. Like, there are going to be some incremental there's going to be those incremental generations, and for people that were holding on to maybe an iPhone 8 or a 10 or any, like, it's time for you to switch now. Yeah. It's like, for them, it's not incremental. For us, where we're seeing it every year, it's like, all right, cool.
Sure. Like, fair point,
and that's fine. Like, but like, I expected at this point to be like 2 or 3 years of incremental, and then maybe the fourth generation is like, oh, we've made this big whatever, and like that, like, check it out, now your phone can levitate, now you can use it, now you can think thoughts at the phone and it will follow your commands. Like, I think I was
really anticipating a USB-C, sorry, and we didn't get it, and so I don't think we'll ever get it now.
That'll be next year. That'd be fun.
I think they'll just go portless now. Just MagSafe it, innit?
No, that'd be stupid.
No, I don't go portless.
No,
like,
one's gonna go portless.
It would be awfully brave.
Like, I mean, it's brave. Like, it's brave that they took away went the route of eSIM.
Yeah, brave or stupid, one or the other.
Means I couldn't review the phone. Brilliant, really helpful. So, over in here, it doesn't work.
Like, and I'm no, and if you look at certain laptops, the ports are slowly going the way of the dodo. The Dell XPS Plus doesn't have a headset jack, neither does several of Asus ZenBooks, like the 13 and the 14. No headphone jack, and on some of their gaming laptops, no webcam. So, like, slowly but surely, they're like, hey, can I take this and you won't notice? Will you notice? Oh, you didn't make any noise? Let me take this too. Do you know? Don't notice?
Okay, Cherie, I've got something that I've wanted to say for a long time, and I think this is going to really piss you off.
Here we go.
I do not understand why everyone goes so crazy for RGB at all. Like, what is the point in making everything so colorful?
What do you mean?
Like, you know, keyboards and headsets and
What do you mean? Like, why wouldn't you want something colorful?
Because it's distracting. What? And like
distracting to who? I like a light show. Like, I like feeling like I'm in a teenage disco. Like, if there's something. It for me, RGB, especially like customizable RGB, allows me to make something that is truly mine. Like, if I wanted to be purple and yellow, if I want to make a purple and white thing and call it Purple Rain theme and just play and have it theme to play Prince, and when it like it pulses with like it's my own thing, and it like, and it's just like, for me, it's like, I have my hair right now is blue, purple, pink, and green. And then in December, for just in time for CES, I'm going to strip all this color out. I'm going to add those colors in, and I'm going to add orange. Like, it's just like, why not be your own rainbow? Why not just let your personality show? Like, is it for everybody? No, but like, hell, if I'm not going to sit there and look and like, ooh, what are you doing with your RGB? Or like, especially if you get a good desktop setup and you see somebody that like has a Naruto fan and like they've got the fans whirring and the like Sharingan rolls up and you're like, what? Like, I'm all about the over the top thing. Like, give me all the RGB, give me the kitchen sink. I need it all.
Okay, fine. I admit RGB has some personalization. It allows you to be who you want to be. It gives you that kind of thing. It just don't understand the love for it, like from everybody. You know, you don't need to be purple all the time. You don't need to be blue. You can just have something that looks subtle and nice and beautiful. I don't know. I don't get the love for it. But then again, I miss Mario. So,
but the thing about it is, like, with every laptop either being black or gray or white, and now you'll get blue every now and then, and every now and then they'll toss you a gold or a rose gold. Everything is so sleek and this and that. Like, you know what? Throw some color in there. Be a distraction.
This isn't throwing color. This is just absolutely chucking it all over it and vomiting color everywhere.
And?
I don't want to vomit anything. And on that note, I think we should wrap up the final, or possibly for at least until the future listeners hear this and resurrect us through the power of virtual holograms or something similar. Maybe we'll be reborn as wearable dresses. Who knows? I just wanted to say thank you for anyone who is listening to this. You know, it could be up to 1 million people. I don't know. Thank you to all of you. And if it is 1 million and we didn't monetize it, well, we're going to be pretty annoyed. But for those who are our fans who have been listening over the years, thank you so much. We've loved it. Cherie, thank you for being just amazing. If we didn't have Miss Cherie L. Smith, I don't think the world would be the same place. So thank you for being along this journey with me.
Thank you for having me. It's been awesome. I've loved every single second of it. Would not trade it. You have been an excellent co-host. You put up with my zaniness, and you bring a gravitas that like perfectly balances out my chaos.
And Matt, thanks to your dad for being the editor of this for quite some time, and for you as well for just making it happen.
Yeah, I think we split them about half and half. And so this is episode 74, technically.
Wow, we never would have got to 100, so that's fine.
I think 74 is a good place to leave it. That seems like a nice round number.
Well, thank you, everybody. And thank you to everybody who's been a TechRadar fan for the last 14 and a half years. It's meant everything to me to be able to write about see-through phones and see the first VR headsets and experience 3D TV and watch 3D TV die and all the above. So thank you to all the listeners. Keep reading TechRadar for the very rest of your lives, unless it turns out to be terrible one day, in which case don't do it then. But ultimately, the team that I'm leaving behind is phenomenal. They know exactly what they're doing. They love talking to you about it. Go read it. Read Laptop Mag. It is the site for people who just love RGB, apparently, all that kind of stuff. Tom's Guide, anyone who's ever been on this podcast, thank you so much. And well, we'll hopefully speak in the future, maybe one day. Bye.
Bye.